This podcast is brought to you by Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series. Do you like violence? Do you like smut? Are you tired of the stereotypical novels of werewolf romance out there and want something a little bit different? Then pick up Sparked Revolution, Book 1 in the Rising Dawn series by Rebecca Castles. Available on Amazon, in Kindle, and paperback. You too can become a sponsor of Stories Are True in the Fiction by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/STTATF or follow the link in the show notes. And welcome to another episode of the Middle Ages Comic Book Hour. I am one of your hosts, J.A. Bryden, and can you guess who's with me today? Oh, what?
Yeah. It's me. I am Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
That was really bad. That was high flu. It's me, Ryan.
Yes, Ryan Schwarzenegger.
It's me. It's me.
Oh, you don't know what I'm doing now.
Yeah, that sounded like a bit RCG, like it's a wonderful world.
Were you? I mean, we played enough gigs together back in the day. Did you know that was my warm-up thing? Yeah, like whenever
really?
They
really,
like,
I did not.
There was two things I did whenever they, because I was sick of going check, check, one, two, check, check. For a while, I'd go check, waiter, check, please, and, you know, like little stupid jokes like that. But then I started doing, I see trees of green, red roses too. That was one of them. And then the other one is I just randomly go, mop-bong, mong, moppy day. I don't know what the words are.
Oh, tentacle. Yeah. I just remember it used to be on the Legos ad, the pasta ad.
Ironically, I learnt it from Thomas Jane Punisher.
Oh, okay. That just makes I need to do a rewatch.
One of the nerds in the apartment building, not the guy with all the, you know, earpieces, but the other guy was Italian and cooking up whatever, and he was listening to it as the Russian beat up.
I'm pretty sure
that's the song.
The sad thing is I remember the Russian, that was Kevin Nash, he was a wrestler, I definitely remember that part. But yeah, luckily, our audience knows that I'm gay because my warm-ups were As Long As You Love Me by the Backstreet Boys and Bye 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 by NSYNC. That's what I used to do in the toilet by myself before I started. Because it helped me hit that fluctuation of notes.
As a 100% straight man, unless Henry Cavill's around, I full disclosure, there was a time in my life when I used to, I don't know why, for about 6 months straight, anytime I hopped in the shower and turned the water on, I'd start singing Backstreet Boys.
Nice.
You know, darling, I can't explain. And I couldn't explain why I did that. But so boy bands have an effect on everyone.
Look, I think there's just some songs that you can, you know, they get stuck in your head, but, you know, it's not acceptable, and you're in the shower, no one's around, why not belt it out, you know?
Well, I don't know, my shower's very, you've seen my shower.
You have, yeah.
It's you open the window, you could say hello to your neighbor, you know, that's how close things are.
But I was going to make things really, really weird and say, yeah, I've been in your shower, not in that way. When I stayed with Jamie, I have used his shower by myself.
Yeah. All by yourself. Anyway, this isn't the karaoke boy band.
No, it's not the
confession podcast. We are a comic book podcast. Well, actually, we're a bit of everything. We're a bit of everything podcast, but we are
pop culture, I guess.
Yeah, I've actually been able to plug this podcast a little bit lately. I was guest on a YouTube channel the other day.
Okay.
Lovely lady by the name of Elle Hackney, who interviews authors and stuff, and she got me to come on, and I invited her on our podcast, so we will be interviewing her soon.
Awesome.
But yeah, no, she wanted to know about the podcast.
What does she do?
One, she interviews authors,
But she wrote a book with kind of like with her family, you know, which probably what I talk like. So the kids did the drawings, and it was kind of like a family effort, and I think that's pretty cool. So we're gonna get her on to talk about that, and
awesome.
It'll be fun.
And I saw that also on Facebook this week that you're continuing on with your Bucks. I have one important question. Is the Uber Eats Uber driver Ryan going to make another appearance in those two books? I've heard another every time I go on a podcast or I'm like talking to people through our account, they're always saying that he needed more time. And I said, look, hey, I'll put the feelers out, and then you put the post up on Facebook, and I thought, okay, now's the time to ask the serious questions.
Well, look.
Now, I do realize that you didn't know me when you wrote these books, which is fine.
No. Look, they were screenplays first.
Yes.
And I've been turning them into books. So, for those playing at home,
mm-hmm.
I wrote a zombie apocalypse trilogy. It's a romance comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's less. I don't know if it's less about the zombies, but it's there's a lot of character development, a lot of that sort of thing. So I've been turning them from screenplays into books. So when I turned the first one into a book, it was basic, like the characters are named after real people, but some of their personalities and traits come into it. And right, well, I've known Ryan for a little bit by that time, or a fair bit by that time. And I thought, I'm going to stick Ryan in it because I'm tweaking, adding stuff up.
And the fans just have not shut up about it since.
about Ryan's one page appearance.
Exactly. They're like, we need more. We need more. And I keep telling people, look, I'm not in control. I do not have creative control over this endeavor. I may be in the sequel. I'm not Kathleen Kennedy. I'm not going to step in and buy it out. Yeah. Not that I could afford it anyway, but I will talk to the author and we will see, but just calm down.
Well, look, there may be a little bit of hope for you. Like, I'm almost finished the first draft of the second book, but the second book, it runs parallel with the first book.
Oh yes, that's a hen's night, isn't it?
Yes. So basically, at the end of Buck's night, the gals join the party. Spoiler alert. So Hen's Night really doesn't have much of an ending because it kind of intertwines with that. But the third book called Wedding Night, that's a few years down the track from then. So it's very possible that I could add Ryan the delivery guy.
Can I make one request? Can a zombie bite my leg off?
Really?
I have no issue because that's who I am now. If a zombie could bite my leg off, I would be absolutely happy.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of controversy around these books because I've created a different kind of zombie. So a lot of the zombie aficionados will probably hate me for it. I've made zombies that don't spread by bite.
Okay. Oh yeah, I don't want to turn into a zombie. I just want my leg bitten off.
Yeah,
by
so
a zombie.
I'm just so.
But yeah, okay.
Spoiler alert: in book number two, I put in this harrowing scene. I like it because it's pretty dark. In the midst of comedy, of a guy they look at his body and he's been bitten, and then he's like shot himself in the head because he thought he was going to turn, but because we're living in a world where people know about zombies. There's a zombie outbreak. And this guy thought, like, oh, it's the movies. I don't want to turn. Bang, you know?
Yeah.
And then these people find him and they know that this is not how the virus works, sort of thing. But, yes.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's different because I just say Danny Boyle, when he did 28 Days Later, did a whole new – that was the first time we'd ever seen zombies run and be faster than humans. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, it's not going to work. And it turned out to be one of the really good zombie movies, and it's gotten it's got one sequel, and now it's getting another sequel with the original cast with Cillian Murphy and everyone on board, called 28 Years Later or something.
That's cool.
So yeah, there's nothing. That's what we need. We need new takes on these things, you know.
Yeah, well, that you know me, I'm annoying. I like to do things differently.
It's not annoying, man. It's called artistic talent.
Artistic talent. Yeah.
You have to. That's good.
The third from memory is my favorite because it's just
Well, do you have a timeline?
No. Well, look, I can give you the first draft of Hen's Night if you want. Ooh. I will need some perspective on it because there's like only one male character in the entire book. No, hang on. There's
I'm happy. Well, I'm also gay, so I can fall into the women's perspective too. So,
well, there's one main dude.
Yeah.
But then there's a few other nerds, you know, like typical, like, people were inside gaming while the outbreak was happening, and they're going like, "What's going on?" Like, they're clueless to what's going on out there because they're in the middle of a 3-day bender.
Well, I mean, I literally just finished my last book, so I'm more than happy to do. We can talk about that off air anyway. Yeah, but yes,
comic books.
But yes, comic books. Yes,
that was a nice plug of my upcoming work. Thank you, Ryan. But check out my other book, Letters from the Emu War. Link in the show notes. Wink, wink. And if you even want more books, we have a sponsor called Rebecca Castles, and she is she writes this series. You may have heard of it. Ryan, tell me, have you heard of this series that's written by Rebecca Castles?
The Setting Sun Saga or something? Rising Dawn.
Yes, the Rising Dawn series, for characters modeled off Henry Cavill, you know, which we highly, highly promote. That's the other thing. Before we go comic book, I'm going tangenty, but like I literally, like 5 seconds ago, I think I forwarded to the Facebook chat group.
Yeah, you did. I didn't watch it yet, but I saw it.
It's Henry Cavill on the Graham Norton show talking about, you know, like when he was Superman. There's this park that he would walk through, and he could hear this guy yelling. He couldn't see him, didn't know where he was, but all the time he'd hear this, "Help me, Superman, save me." he's like, it's so annoying, but you can't help but laugh, you know. Like,
yeah, he seems like the kind of guy that would just be, oh my God, he would just laugh at it. Like, it's like he's just appears to be a massive nerd. So,
I think that's
right.
Not like Russell Crowe, you know, he's kind of little.
Oh, God, no.
Who I found out again recently on the Graham Norton show that Michael Jackson used to ring his hotel room and prank phone call him.
Russell Crowe's?
Yeah. Russell Crowe and Michael Jackson had never met ever.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson would ring the hotel, find out where he's staying, getting his room number, and call him and prank him. Like,
oh my God.
And then whenever
I was trying to think of a situation where Michael Jackson and Russell Crowe would actually meet, and I just can't seem to think of one.
And he was saying, like, he was talking to people that knew Michael Jackson. He goes, "No, that is so Michael. Like, he does that to everyone, you know?"
Yeah. He's always a little kid, so to speak.
Yes. Anyway, let's shift gears and move into comic book talk. Before we dive back into issue 4 of Sweet Tooth, a little bit of news has been going around. This one's a few weeks old, I think, but I really wanted to get Chris on to talk about it, but it would be like an 8-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the rumor for the MCU X-Men and their changing of villain? They're not going to Not going to do Magneto.
And what was this in? Sorry, was this in the cartoon or the MCU?
No. Oh, it says rumor the X-Men MCU reboot is ditching a classic character for someone new.
Well, I mean, they did it with Spider-Man. We didn't get the Green Goblin until really the last movie, and it wasn't even his Green Goblin.
Yeah.
I'm all for that because, you know, how many times have we seen Batman and the Joker? How many times have we seen Spider-Man and the Green Goblin? How many times have we seen Xavier versus Magneto?
Yeah,
you know we're going to get Magneto eventually. So to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah, so they're going for Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, look, you've got me because he's my favorite villain in the MCU. I've mentioned it before. Mm. And not to mention he's related to Scott Summers. So it kind of makes sense. So, yeah, man, if they do it right, I think Mr. Sinister is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy for that.
Yeah, okay, so it does say rumors, so, you know, who knows how reliable the source is. But the other thing is which I would 100% believe because it's Disney, the movie's going to be more female character focused, obviously.
Yeah, because the last two movies they put out that were female focused were so fucking fantastic.
Yeah. But, and... only one time defense kind of thing, because I think Chris kind of agreed with me on this. There is a lot of great female characters within X-Men.
There are.
Like, there's heaps. Like,
but if they're doing it the Disney way, they'll just fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly. They'll use all the
I'm sorry for my language, but it's true. They've had true. How many chances are we going to give them?
Yeah. Well, look, honestly, I think their last chance is Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
Like, quite literally, that's... Well, as someone
who's actually sat through the Marvels and Madame Web, and they felt the Marvels felt like it could have been a TV show. And the Madam Web, the way that I describe Madam Web is, you'll know this saying, Jamie, you know when you go to a meeting and it could have been an email?
Yes.
Madam Web, just like they chucked Uncle Ben in out of nowhere. I suppose this is relevant because it's comic book talk. So they basically made Uncle Ben a paramedic. So this is set back in the era where Uncle Ben and Aunt May were like in their 30s.
Yeah.
Peter was just about to be born. Mm-hmm. Peter's parents, Richard and whatever her name is, they're both in it. There was no Spider-Man cameo. There was no Andrew Garfield mentioned. Yeah. There was no nothing. So you don't know which Spider-Man it was. But that's it. The rest of it was complete and utter horse shit. They took what was one of my favorite characters in the Spider-Man universe of the 2010s, Ezekiel Sims, and just basically gave him the Marvel treatment. We're going to dumb down everything you know about this guy. And we're going to just, I didn't enjoy it. I did not enjoy it at all. I'm really starting to get shitty with Marvel because I'm the one for this podcast who actually puts the, you guys do other things. This can be my contribution as well as being on screen. Is my contribution is watching these shit god awful movies so that at least one of us has. And then I can save you guys from watching it. And B, I can talk to our listeners and maybe if enough listeners get the shits with it, something will get done. But I highly doubt it. Do you remember I sent you guys a picture on its 252nd day in the cinema? Oppenheimer made more in that day than Madam Web made its entire opening weekend.
Yeah. You know what I realized?
That's ridiculous.
I realized that you are Abed from Community in that episode where he's standing at the front of the Phantom Menace stopping people from going in. You don't want to watch this movie?
Mate, if I had 2 legs to stand on, could leave the house, I would have been going to the cinemas to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because it was horrible. I'm so glad to admit that I didn't pay a freaking cent for it, because if I did pay for it, even if it gets thrown in as part of my Disney Plus subscription, I would cancel my Disney Plus subscription because I refuse to pay even $11.99 to watch that piece of shit. And I'm really sorry, because there was some great actresses in it and great actors in it, and they got sidelined with a shitty story and a shitty script, and then Sony just keeps digging its hole bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not looking forward to Kraven at all. I will watch it though, because that's what I do. But this is the Marvels I watched while I was in hospital on drugs and I still hated it. And Madam Web, was absolutely not worth my time. Yeah. So guys, I'm really sorry. I'm not normally the negative one. Watch them if you can. I don't recommend paying anything for it. I think the Marvels is on. The Marvels is on Disney Plus now already, so if you guys have a Disney Plus subscription for other stuff, check it out if you want. But to me, it feels like one big TV show episode. And please, just don't waste any money on Madam Web, because it's atrocious. Anyway, that's the end of my negativity for today.
Well, now we're going to do some Ryan positivity.
Let me think of something I saw positive.
No, I've prepared for something Ryan positivity.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool.
Because
cool.
It's not going to be a correcting IGN. It is an article with a list.
Okay.
But I just want to see if there's anything they've left off, because it is it is from GamesRadar.com.
Oh, yeah. They're a good site. I follow them. They're pretty cool.
And this is the best Batman villains of all time.
Okay, cool. Now you're talking my language.
And, we'll get some positivity out of this, because, one, I needed you to tell me if there's anything that they put on there that shouldn't be on there, and if there's anything that they, should have put on there. But again, this isn't like this is the best one, that's the best one. They just listed them in particular order, starting with the Court of Owls.
Okay, so where are you starting? Oh, this is not in order. Okay, cool.
There's no order? They haven't listed it as an order?
Oh,
they go,
okay, cool.
These just...
Yes, the Court of Owls, that was introduced when they were the relatively new set of villains. They were introduced in the New 52 by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo in Scott Snyder's amazing Batman run, which was just freaking insane. If you want to read a good Batman run, read Scott Snyder's New 52 run. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they basically, you know, you think of the bat and you think of a natural enemy, which, you know, the owls kind of are. They both rule the skies and want to fight on each other. What I really liked about the Court of the Owls is they had this thing called Talons, and that was kind of their attackers, right? They're these guys that they freeze, kind of Winter Soldier-like. They freeze, and they thaw out when there's a mission, okay? So then they're called Talons because Court of Owls, Talons. And it turns out that Dick Grayson's grandfather was actually one of, he went missing like before Dick was born, was actually a Talon, and he's actually the same age as Dick Grayson is now, or was at the New 52 because he'd been cryogenically frozen, and then there was a whole story based around that. So, yeah, the Court of Owls definitely belong on that list.
Cool. All right, coming up in the next one is Poison Ivy.
Yeah, you kind of have to. Don't use any of the films as a guide for Poison Ivy, because I like the Poison Ivy in Batman Arkham Knight because that truly shows how powerful she is. Like in the movie Batman and Robin, we all agree that was a crap movie anyway because that was bat nipples and, you know, you've got a freaking credit card with Batman. Like, how does that work? But she, in that movie, she just literally controlled plants. That's all she did.
Yeah,
that's not actually what her powers are. Her powers are she can control Earth itself.
Yeah.
So anything connected to the Earth, like plants, pollen, and some like green animal kind of thing, she has control over that. So she definitely has the star ranking to be in that list. So yes, I will agree.
Number three, but the third one on the list is Penguin.
Yep. Again, don't base it on the movies. Base it on the base it on the Batman Robert Pattinson movie because as not great as that movie was, look, it was good, but one of the things they did get right was the Penguin. He was always connected to that mafia kind of underground weapons, like in the games, weapon smugglers, all that kind of thing. So he in the comics is a lot more powerful than the movie. So based on the games Penguin and the comics Penguin, 100% he should be in there.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you haven't watched the trailer, but the new show does look pretty good. Like,
yes, I'm so sorry I forgot to watch that. I will be watching it tomorrow, though.
It just looks like a great gang. Like, even if it wasn't Penguin, it looks like a good show. It's
I've heard nothing but good things about it, so I'm keen.
And James Gunn was very, very impressed. And, awesome. You know, he's plugged it himself. Awesome. So that means good stuff there. Okay.
Well, that's good.
I don't know if you're ready for the next one. Ryan, what do you think of Bane?
Bane, the Nolan movies, yes. The games, yes. The comics, yes. He in the comics, he doesn't just live on a Mexican island. He runs that island like a gangland. Like, picture a gangland island where, like, kind of like Madripoor in Marvel or, it's like a seedy underbelly, but it's a whole island and Bane is the king. He controls crime. He controls, 100%.
Yeah. And he's so good in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle crossover.
Yes, he is. Yes, I will give you that as well. That's another great adaptation.
Yeah. Scarecrow?
Yeah, again, another going back to Arkham Knight and the comic. Arkham Knight was really a really good adaptation. Yeah. And even the Nolan Scarecrow, we didn't really get too much of him.
Yeah.
We only got a little bit in the Nolan universe, but in the Arkham Knight video game and the comics, he's got a powder where he can control all your fears in one little drop. Yeah. I mean, dude, seriously, as hardcore as some of you think you are out there, everyone's afraid of something.
Yeah.
So, and he will take that and multiply it by 10,000 and you're done. I mean, once you're confronted with the thing you fear, and you're not strong enough to beat it, you're out. You're out of the game. Yeah. So, yeah, 100%. 100% Scarecrow. So, yeah, this article is pretty much on spot.
Yeah. One of my favorites, Riddler.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. The way that he was showcased in the Batman with Robert Pattinson, again, is the true strength of the Riddler. He's not just a guy who's like, riddle me this, riddle me this. He's got he's just as crazy as a Joker, but is, but he has enough sanity to plan things, whereas the Joker is just kind of like spontaneous, Riddler will plan things out for years. Another good example of that is if you read Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo's New 52, Batman, there's a story arc that goes for 12 issues, which I'm really thinking about being our next one.
All right.
It's called Zero Year. So this is basically taking place in year zero when Batman just came about. And the Riddler literally knocks out all the power in Gotham and cuts them off from the world. And it looks like The Last of Us, like there's grass greenery, overgrown buildings and everything. It showcases, and every day the Riddler will ask for someone to give him a riddle. And if you can stump him, he will put the power back on and he will allow services in. And then, but if you tell him a riddle and he gets it, you die.
This is not just going on for a few.
There are at zero. You got to the stage where they were up to day 257, and so that means 257 people have died just in that one instance. Not let alone all the gangs and he sets it up so the Penguin has his own area, that Joker has his own area. It's just such a good arc and it's such a good story. Riddler is definitely on the list.
Yeah.
And as well as I'm guessing we're coming to the Joker soon, which I'm never going to argue with.
that's at the bottom of the list. But our Two-Face is next for obvious reasons.
Definitely. Again, not Two-Face from the Joel Schumacher Batman and Robin, Batman Forever, which has one of my favorite versions of the Riddler just because I love Jim Carrey. But don't go off that one. That was more of a Batman in the animated series vibe.
Yeah.
Whereas Two-Face in the Dark Knight trilogy, Two-Face in the game, Two-Face in the comics again. Like, I'm just repeating myself. Yes, I agree.
What are you saying? Nolan did a good thing.
Nolan did a good thing. Again, it was the only thing we didn't get enough of him because it happened towards the end of the movie and then they killed him off too quickly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so next one's Catwoman. Well, is she a villain or is she more of a
anti-hero?
Yeah.
But again, I can't remember who said it. I read an interview with a comic writer. Catwoman switches sides like we change our underwear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she'll look after herself. But there are certain moments in the comics and in the Nolan movies where, you know what, she says, I hate you, Batman, because you make me want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So I would definitely maybe not put her down as a villain, more as an anti-hero. But I can see where they were coming from. It's not like an IGN where they've got it completely wrong.
Yeah. All right. Like I said, bottom of the list is Joker, but the last one apart from Joker is Ra's al Ghul.
Definitely. Again, I don't need to sit here and make an argument for the Joker. We all know that. Definitely there.
Yeah.
Ra's al Ghul, definitely. 100%. 100% because he is a villain because he's a father. And what I mean by that is he just wants his line to continue. Like his lineage, which is the Talia al Ghul. And Chris has mentioned this. Talia's got some potion from her dad, drugged Batman and technically raped him to have a son. But that's Ra's al Ghul. That's all he wanted. Everything he does is to find a successor for the Demon's Head. He wants someone to take over, and we all know he wants Batman to do that. And he wants an heir. And obviously, he in his early days with the League of Shadows, you can look, the living older and living longer and longer in the world that we live in, I can kind of agree with him a little bit about just wiping towns out and starting again. You know, and Liam Neeson was a great Ra's al Ghul, and he got a line straight out of the comics. You know, it's like we've given Gotham so many chances. Yeah. It is a cesspool. It is nothing but a toxic waste dump on mankind, and we need to raise it and start again. He doesn't want to not have Gotham. He doesn't want to rule the world. He just wants the world to be better.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like when I was a kid, I'd be like, no, but I mean, I'm 42 now, and the world that we live in, and I've seen a lot of the government and the hospital and the way that people act. And sometimes I think our government should be raised to the ground and built anew. You know what I mean? Like, I can get on board with that. So 100%. And if I can be brutally honest with you, I have not seen a bad representation of Ra's al Ghul at all.
That's
even
true.
With the Arrow series with Matt Noble. One, he's an Australian, so represent. He's a great Australian actor. Even in the Arrow show, they did him justice. The game, justice. Yep. The movie, justice.
Yeah.
Batman, the animated series, the comic, everything. But him and the Joker are the only two out of the whole list you've given me that I can say I have not seen a bad representation of.
Wow,
and cool. I can't say Batman 66 because that was a completely different era.
Yeah.
And that was the Joker they needed from there. They needed a colorful, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we got Jack Nicholson who played an amazing role because that's my favorite Batman movie. And yes, was he a little, he kind of mixed the campiness, but he also had the murderous in there as well.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got Heath Ledger for the Dark Knight. Yep. And there's nothing I can say to fault his performance. And I know a lot of people don't like Jared Leto as the Joker. However, he was playing a version of the Joker that was mob boss-like. There was an era of the Joker where he ruled like a mob boss, and that's exactly what he did. That's what Jared Leto did. And especially in the Justice League, the Zack Snyder Justice League, where we got to see Jared Leto unleashed, reins off, that is the Joker that we deserve.
Yeah.
And even in the new Batman, Barry Keoghan, I think that's how you pronounce his surname. I'm not sure. Don't hold me to that. You get a little insight to the Joker that they had planned for Batman. And there is a scene on YouTube that was deleted from the movie, which actually has Batman in the room with the Joker. You can see his scars and everything. Yep. Again, another great representation.
Cool. I'm only sad that they left off one awesome Batman villain.
Can I have a guess?
Yes, go for it.
Clayface?
No, I was going to say King Tut. But
Condiment I'm King. Kidding.
Condiment Man.
The Condiment. I love that. Honestly, that little King Tut that you got me is like, I know Chris got me like a super duper expensive, he's not going to listen to this, got me a super duper expensive like Demon Batman, and you got me, not that saying that this wasn't, but this was part of your gift to me. And it's still, I can see it. It's right there on my shelf. It is one of my favorite. You know what? I credit to you. You have given me my favorite Batman memorabilia. You gave me that, you know what? When I was in hospital, I'm not getting all sappy, but when I was in hospital for Christmas and New Year's this past year, and I missed our get together because I went into hospital that weekend. Yeah. And Jamie kindly dropped off mine and Steph's Christmas present at the door, and Steph got to bring it up to me in hospital, which is the Batmobile from the Robert Pattinson's Batman. Yeah. And it is one of my all-time favorite. My coins that you got me for Two-Face and Joker, again, two of my most favorite, and that King Tut figurine. And I must say that Batman 66 record that you got me, I can see that right there. That's one of my favorite things ever, so... Jay, if you ever become a friend of Jamie's, I will kill you in the meantime. But he gives the best present. Like he thinks about things, you know. And Steph will attest to how much she loves hers. She's even forfeited. I'm going to show this on cam. She's letting me use her Keanu calendar that Jamie got her for my hospital appointments because I've got so many because I keep forgetting them. She loves her, and she loves her. She pulled out the other day. When we had a house inspection to show the realtor her book of Keanuisms that you got her, like all the different quotes. So, and not to mention the life-size dandy of Keanu Reeves sleeps in her bedroom. So,
there is a theme. Like it with Steph, it's getting harder and harder because there is only only so much Keanu memorabilia opposed to like what 80 years of Batman.
And you know what? Your stuff that you get me is like rare Batman stuff. It's like not things I've ever seen in the shops. So, anyway, this is not the Jamie gift giving podcast. I will say on that list, there needs to be Clayface because people underestimate Clayface so much. He has gotten so much bad. Like if you watch, if you read the comic, Clayface is probably he's on par with the Riddler and the Joker because he can become anyone. I mean, he can become anyone. He could literally become Bruce Wayne's butler if he had a suspicion that he was Batman.
Yeah.
And then become Batman and then find out he's Batman. So Clayface really needs to be on there. And the only other thing I will give props to, I can understand why they left him off the list, is Killer Croc. Because, as I said, we haven't really seen him in the movies. He's great in the game, but in the comics, he's actually a lot smarter than what he is in the game.
Yeah.
And he ends up, I think when the Riddler gets put away, he ends up taking over the Riddler's crew and causing quite a bit of shit to go down. So Killer Croc should be on the list as well, but I understand they don't want to just chuck everyone on, so.
Yeah. You got to choose the best. They're going for the best. Like, it's not, here's a list of all the Batman villains. It's, you know, the standout ones.
Definitely. Is that the end of the list, Jamie?
That is, yeah.
Okay. I have some disturbing comic book news in my opinion.
Yep, okay.
You might have heard of this. It's about the new Fantastic Four movie. I don't know why they've made the Silver Surfer a female. One reason that this doesn't make sense is where the Silver Surfer comes from. There's no such thing as gender. They're all one. The way that they create is done in laboratories, and by the time the Silver Surfer's out processing plants, they're all male.
Yeah.
There's never been a female Silver Surfer in the history of comics. So that's why I don't disapprove. It's none of this lady, male thing, whatever. I do understand because it's Marvel and it's Disney.
Yeah.
And I really need them to stop this shit. Otherwise, I will literally just watch the Infinity Saga and a few movies here and there that have been good, like Guardians and stuff. I will not spend another cent, and I'll watch it for free. The only thing it's costing me is my time.
I mean, and Disney forgets that we own. I mean, I'm pretty sure you own all the MCU on Blu-ray and 4K that stuff.
I bought them on Blu-ray and 4K. That's how much I love them. When I was working. Yeah. I literally, as soon as they came out on 4K, I was still working. Yeah. I just go, okay, what can I get in 4K? And I just got them replace my Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've spent a lot of money on that.
I've got the proper box set. But yeah, I pulled out Captain Marvel and I put in
Iron Man 3,
Guardians 3, and No Way Home. No, I've left Iron Man 3 there.
Iron Man 3 is better than Captain Marvel.
No, 100%.
It is watchable. I've watched it again recently. It's not, as I said, it's not great, but it's not bad.
If there was no such thing as the MCU when that movie came out, it'd be great. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this thing called continuity that kind of needs to, you know. Yep. And
well, that's what I said about the Josh Trank Fantastic Four movie. I went and saw it with a guy, Tim, you know. Who knew nothing about the MCU at that time.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed that movie as a sci-fi movie. And I guess I can say, yes, it is a great sci-fi movie. It is a complete and utter piece of rubbish as a Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah.
So he kind of taught me to sort of see things a different way sometimes, but I can't do that anymore. I'm getting too old and too old man. Like,
Too much fun.
When it comes to Marvel in movies, I'm Jay Pritchard from Modern Family. Like, I just, because we're rewatching Modern Family at the moment for the third time. So, but yeah, but in good news, and this is sort of comic book related. Yesterday, Steph and I had the best 14 hours rewatching the whole Lord of the Rings movie, extended editions. And man, that holds up.
It does.
It is so good. And for someone like me who's actually been to New Zealand, who's been to the Hobbit Village, been to Mount Doom and everything like that, like it took a lot. I promised Steph I wouldn't go, I've been there. But it was her idea. She's like, you know what? Because we, at the moment with my pain levels and weekends, I don't do much. But she suggested, why don't we watch them? I'm like, you know what? Fuck yeah. I haven't watched them for ages. And that kind of took away the Madam Web taste out of my mouth. And, what do you think about them making the Silver Surfer a female, even though he comes from a genderless society?
It just makes me cringe.
But because we know why they're doing it, they're not doing it to be different. They're doing it because they need to be woke.
Yeah, and that's like, okay, like, and I will say this. I mentioned this to Chris about Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just the way the world is now, you know, sometimes you're sitting there waiting for something that woke happen.
Yep.
Because they have these two characters, and you're expecting, I'm sitting there going, no, don't do this, don't. And it almost ruined the movie because I'm sitting there going, don't do that.
When's it
going
to happen,
And then it didn't happen. And that kind of put me at ease, but it's just that anticipation of like knowing it. You're not doing it to make a good movie. You're doing it because you've got a quota to fill or you've got people to please. You're not thinking about, hey, let's go make a good movie, a good story.
And let's, then, yeah, let's, you know, make, let's make a good story, but hey, let's like see, maybe we can do it this way. And they're just going, no, this is what everyone wants. We need to be woke.
Yeah. They're putting, and this is like, this is hilarious because, like, you know, I grew up in the Christian world, shall we say, and of the movies being Christian movies being the most horrible movies you've ever seen in your entire life because of one thing. We've got to get this message across. Now let's build a story around that message instead of going, let's make a good story.
Yep. And what, you know? Look, there's nothing wrong with making a good story and just changing something here and there for the sake of experimentation, for the sake of taking a chance.
Yep.
I'm down. But not for the sake of going, oh, this is Disney, this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, bring back Disney of the 90s, early 2000s, because they're just making gold. You know,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
Leave the politics out of it.
When this is about a year ago, I think I went and saw they re-released the first Ghostbusters movie in the cinemas, and it was on like a weekday, and I because I was working odd hours, I had the weekday off, so I thought, you know, I'm going to go watch it, and it was fantastic. I got to watch Ghostbusters because came out the year I was born, I think, and I got to watch the first Ghostbusters movie in the cinema, It was still great. As I said, I watched Ghostbusters 2 when I got home.
Yep.
I don't like the all-female one, not because it's all-female, because they're trying to force that down my throat. But Ghostbusters Afterlife was amazing, and I can't wait to watch the new one.
Yeah, well, look, it's written by the same people that did the last one. It wasn't I don't think it was as – I mean, because the last one was – the Afterlife was a surprise. Like, it was a surprise. You go, like –
yeah,
I had a feeling it was going to be good, but not that good, you know.
Yep.
And then like this new one, it's like I think they played it a bit safe, but it was good. It was a good movie. It felt like a 90s movie. Felt like
I remember you watched it while you were on holidays, and the first thing you said it was like a real good 90s flick.
Yeah, yeah. It was that. That was
cool.
Yeah, I was in Ballarat for 2 days because both people that I was supposed to meet up with one cancelled, and then the other one went into labor, so
that's a good excuse.
You know, going like, yeah, you know, and then I thought, you know what, I'm gonna watch the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Good.
No Michael Vasili.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. No, I don't think he's that popular in Ballarat. So,
no.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That is one movie that I will actually pay to hire because you can hire it through Prime. I will hire it, and that'll give. Like, I can't go and see it at the moment, but if I hire it, it'll give them a little bit of money and I'll get some enjoyment. So yeah, by all means, man, like I'm glad you watched it because I really enjoyed Afterlife, Ghostbusters Afterlife. So I'm really happy that the second one kind of lives up to the expectations.
But in a way, you're gonna have to thank IGN because IGN gave it a bad review. I thought, you know what? It's probably good then. because they essentially said, oh, it gives the people what they want. You know, that's why it's bad.
Instead of Disney saying, we know what the people want and we're going to give it to them whether they like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right.
I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think. There was something else comic book related. I'm just trying to think. I'll think about it. If I remember it, we can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into this issue of Sweet Tooth. Part 4, man, we've only got 2 to go. This one and one more. Unless we want to do the entire omnibus
50-something issue. No, I'm good.
No.
I would, but I think it will get. I think our listeners will get a bit bored because we're repetitive.
Yeah. No, look.
It'll be us just praising Jeff Lemire all the time.
You get the Jeff Lemire podcast. On next episode, we will be teaching you guys how to build an idol for Jeff.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to Jamie Johnson too. He's doing the rounds at Supernova or Comic Con or whatever it is we've got over
Melbourne?
Here.
Is he in Melbourne?
He's in Melbourne today. Today and tomorrow, I think. I'm just gonna try and look it up here while we get it sorted. But he's got great art for sale. He's a fantastic artist. He does specialize in Ninja Turtle stuff, but he does do a lot of Batman and stuff as well. So if you're in Melbourne or just follow him on QuickDraw13 on Instagram.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll be able to give you some details. But he's at Supernova Melbourne. So I'm assuming he's doing the rounds of Supernova. So Jamie's a great friend of mine. I talk to him quite often about art. He's a great friend of the show. So just thought, I think it's a little bit late for the Melbourne one, but check out his Instagram with all the details.
Yeah. I'll have to get him back on soon, man. I mean, even just
he's a great guy.
Even for an issue, man, like pick a comic and get.
I feel bad. Like he gave us he only lives like 10 minutes from us, and he said to me, "Oh, come around and check out all my Jim Lee stuff." And then I lost my leg, and I haven't been able to take rub on that offer yet. So, I do keep in contact. His artwork is definitely worth what you pay for it.
Yeah.
Jamie can attest to that. And he's a great guy. So, it's Australian artist, work with some of the big wigs. So check him out and chuck him a like or buy some of his artwork.
And, go back and check out our interview with him. We interviewed him like the last year, I think. It was. Man, it's been like
I was in hospital this time last year when I originally lost my leg. So, about a year ago.
Yeah. Man, time flies.
We can't believe it. Yeah,
we're getting on. But, let's dive into this issue, part four, Sweet Tooth Out of the Deep Woods, part four. You know the drill now, people. You know the drill. We've come a long way since last Ronin. We're more prepared now. So we're going to tackle this. I've got a few things to say about this issue because I think it's fantastic. All right.
As every other issue has been.
Yes. Well, it does have Jeff Lemire's name on it, so, okay, so Jeppard pulls the fake bunny ears off Becky. A man named Jacob pulls a gun on Jeppard from behind. Classic scene there. He sees his hybrid and offers him one of his underage prostitutes in exchange for Gus.
Yeah.
I'll swap you a hooker up. Jeppard stands tough and threatens Jacob back. Jacob folds under the pressure and tells Susie to cut Gus loose.
Mm-hmm.
As they walk away, Gus tells Jeppard he doesn't think it's right that they are hurting those girls. When they hear a loud slap from one of the girls being hit for speaking out of turn, Jeppard clenches his fist. He turns around to help the girls and tells Gus to lay low. Jeppard beats the man with the butt of his gun and disarms Susie. He lets Lucy finish Susie off with a bullet to the head.
As you do.
He tells them they are... He tells them they are free to go anywhere but with them. As they leave, Becky yells out to Gus to be careful because there is no preserve. As they ride off on the horse, Gus tells Jeppard he thinks he isn't a bad man since he helped those girls. Jeppard doesn't reply. Super short, but there's a lot in it.
There's a lot going on, and as we've said before, Jeff Lemire, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because it's good. He tells the story a lot through art.
Yes.
And like a lot of these things are, you're looking at, the body language and the looks of the facial expressions of, the guys in here I know this is not a nice topic to talk about, but when you see the prostitutes, what really gets me is the way that he's drawn them. They just look lifeless. They just look soulless, which is a very normal expectation for what they're going through.
Yeah.
If you just look at them, there's nothing in their eyes, and that was done on purpose. That was not just a thing of, oh, this is how I'm going to draw them. He's literally drawn them. And even if you go to the panel where Shepard beating up the guy, Jacob, where he hits him with the gun and you see like teeth going every which way and the distortion in his face.
Yeah.
It's told so well through pictures. And that's why you guys, if you're really interested and you're liking this podcast, you really need to check it out. It's available through all major comic apps, or you could get it in your comic store easily. If you're a little short on money like me, there is not an illegal, this has had the author's approval. There is a site called Read Comics Online where you can Google and you can read the whole 52 issues and get a good sense of what we're talking about. Because Jeff Lemire is one of those artists that, it was great that Jamie picked this because it's such a great story, but he does a lot of his storytelling through his images.
Yes. And I'm even noticing this, like, with the rain coming down.
Yep, yep.
It's just, like, even, like, he thinks of so much, you know. And especially, definitely, like, the interaction with that Jacob dude, just, you know, and the gun to the back of the head, and you're seeing, like, Jeopard's...
Yep.
Jeopard ain't... He's not flinching.
No, and the world has made him that. I mean, if you think about the situation that they're in, and it's literally kill or be killed, and it's just... I'm confident that, and I hate to say it, I'm not a violent person, but if this anything like this ever happens, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if literally they're living in a world where today could be their last day.
Yeah.
Literally. So, you know what I mean? Like, it could, I can understand it, but
I love the whole Sweet Tooth. This is just optimistic little hybrid kid who's just lovely and nice, and he's thrown into this world that is just unforgiving, and you know,
and he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah, and more
so
on
after
that,
his father passed away, you know, like, yeah,
and more on that next issue, which will be the final issue of our Sweet Tooth read through. If you guys want us to come back and revisit it further down the line, we will. But we're all about arcs at the moment. Otherwise, we would be the Ninja Turtle podcast, and we'd be doing the IDW series start to finish.
But one thing, though, I remember the thing that I was talking about, Jamie.
Yes.
We were going to talk about Resident Alien.
Ah, yes.
Because it is technically comic related.
Yeah.
So Resident Alien had, we'll put a spoiler. We'll put, like when we start.
So
you do the spoiler thing.
So we've wrapped up Sweet Tooth for this episode. Now we're going to talk about Resident Alien. We have watched all of season 3.
Yeah, I did a double episode last night because I thought maybe we want to talk about it. I watched 7 and 8 back to back, which was good.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, what we're going to do from this point on is, for the next little while,
spoilers.
If you don't want any, skip ahead. If you don't care about the wonderful TV show that is known as Resident Alien.
I think it's safe to say, and I don't like turning people off early, but I think this is probably going to be the last thing we talk about.
Yeah.
So if you don't want spoilers, feel free to end the episode here and come back after you've watched it. But we are going, now that Jamie and I have both seen it and the third season has finished, which was supposed to be its last, but who knows. Turn off now, come back when you've listened to it. So we're giving you ample warning.
Yes. This is it. Your last chance.
Yes.
All right. Spoilers. I don't know, man. I loved it.
Yes. So a lot happened in the last 2 episodes.
Yeah.
A lot. So obviously, you know, Harry spent most of this last couple of episodes in love. I'll forget her name, but she's an alien from a bird tribe.
Heather.
Yeah. I get everyone
wrong. Because the name runs with Heather. Yeah.
Yeah. So he would fall in love. And then we see she was contacted. She was reached out to by the Grey, the deputy, and he basically said, "You need to never see him again." Blah blah blah, all kind of things. She breaks Harry's heart. The blackmail, to which we see poor Harry's heart is broken. So most of episode 7 deals with him and what he's trying to do to forget about it. Like he's gloomy, doomy, the music, constantly playing music in the doctor's surgery. And like my favorite line is just yelling out, "I don't care about these people. I don't care if they live or die." And so the waiting room full of patients is that.
And of course, was that second last episode, episode 7, the one where the general brings around the emu?
Yes. Yes. That was episode 6. But yes, really? I remembered. I had to put it in my head because it was something I wanted to bring up with you. It's like perfect promotion.
Perfect promotion, yeah.
This one was more dealt with his child as well. Yes. I think that was in 7, or was that John?
The child came back to kill him, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was initially, again, it was the child came back trying to kill Harry, and then they worked it all out, and so Harry got the child on. You know, everyone's kind of on board. Darcy is struggling a lot.
Yeah. She's had a lot of growth this season.
Yeah, she really has. Like
I haven't really loved her all that much as a character, but this season she's kind of...
Yeah.
She's lifted a game and she's like... 100%. It's character growth, you know? Like...
Definitely.
She's going through some stuff and...
The whole in episode, I think it was episode 8 when she's talking to her dad in hospital.
No, that was 7, wasn't it? No, that was 7.
Yeah, 7, yeah. So, and she's talking to her dad and he's like, she goes, I know you're probably not proud of me now, but I'm gonna make you proud.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking like, what's she going to do? And then she calls her ex-boyfriend, goes over to the ex-boyfriend's house. And she said, look, I'm going to do something that's going to make you proud. And you start getting worried because you're like, hold on, what's going on? Like, and then you've got the mayor and his wife's arc as well, like discovering that she's actually been abducted.
Yeah.
And the whole thing where, and one of my favorite parts, I'm sorry I did a back-to-back. I can't remember if it was 7 or 8, but Harry doing the hypnotic stuff with the mayor's wife.
That was
I was on the edge and like, and when you come back, you will remember everything.
Yeah.
And then she came out of it and she just
wailing.
Crying.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie, it got me. I was almost like got me jerked because now imagine
That's up there with Rocket Raccoon, you know, and that scene where she's like, you're just like, oh man. Yeah. Yeah, just
and then it's obviously that she wants to get the baby back.
Yeah.
A lot happened now. I'm sort of getting things mixed up, so I'm gonna let you do some talking now.
No, look, the depth,
because you'll explain episode 8 a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, well, the depth of character, the growth in every single, like every character this season has just grown exponentially. Yeah. Even Mike, you know, the sheriff.
Yeah.
How he's, you know, dealing with this and he gets his girl back. But yeah, so basically episode 8 is, I mean, you guys know, Darcy steals the bomb and she's going to go up there and you know, basically do the mission herself and then obviously fails because...
And then the funniest thing was in true Harry fashion, he gets the general over. He hasn't checked the box.
Yeah.
And he's like, I have finished the bomb here. And then he opens it up and there's no bomb there.
Yeah. It's like, and it's
typical Harry just not checking and just going, ha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll let you get back to it.
That's all right. Yeah. No. So Darcy's going to do that. But like, there's a lot happening. Like, that was really cool with Harry going on the ship. Everyone goes on the ship. To like with the baby with Bridget on his shoulder. That was a really cool element there. But also side characters like there's a new mysterious character who's just kind of like there in the background, kind of like creepy, praying mantis alien to the level of I will eat your head off kind of situation. So there was like a whole, let's blow up the Greys, let's steal the baby. I mean, there's a lot going on.
In one episode.
Like, I'm struggling to remember everything, to be honest. The alien tracker, the original alien tracker, not Max. Oh,
Cyborg. Yeah. That was awesome. They full Cyborg him up. And the fact that he remembered when he had the Grey, it was like he's getting some of his memory back, and then he did the typical robot, you know, he went back on his owners, which was great.
Yeah.
Or his creators, I should say.
Yeah. But the whole, you know, now everyone's stories are linking up. So you've got, you know, the mayor, the mayor's wife, Kate. Is Kate? I'm pretty sure it's Kate.
Kate,
You know, finding out Darcy's on the ship and then, like, so people are starting to know everything. It's going to be very interesting fourth season if they do it because, like, it did end on a full circle, the perfect full circle cliffhanger, Remnants of Max.
Well, that, just before you mention it, I just want to say this was my favorite part of the whole season because it literally made me go, and I'm not saying like it was, the season was amazing, but when you can explain it, but when this happened, I was like, no, because I was expecting it to end because they're not really talking about a season 4.
Yeah.
But that really got me anyway. So you can explain it.
Yeah. So there is a cliffhanger kind of thing, and they better get another season. Otherwise, it's one of those annoying open ended. It's a full circle thing. So like if you remember in season 1, when little Max can see through the genetic makeup of aliens trying to hide their appearance. So he sees Harry and he's just like, ah! You know, and then now everything's back to normal. He goes to visit Harry. Harry comes back to Earth, so to speak, and then they're like, oh, the baby's dead. Like, and you don't see the baby die. It's just, oh, the baby's dead. You know, that's sad. Oh, I'm sorry. That's okay. And then so he's in the cabin. Max knocks on the door. Door opens up.
Well, he's with Sanaa, the girl. Like, yep. She dragged him there.
Yeah. And then Max screams like he did in the first one. And you look up and it's the praying mantis, the praying alien. Mantis,
yeah.
And Harry.
And then it cuts to Harry in the ship still.
Yeah. And his iconic line, this is some bullshit. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I forgot a lot because it's been I watched it last week or the other day. The other day? I don't know. A lot's happened since I watched it. It was a pretty complicated episode, I think. I don't think I said
it. It was the most full, that's not proper English, but it was the fullest episode.
Yes.
Episode 8 was that was just like because I'm in pain a lot. I do, you know, play a game on my tablet while I'm watching just to to distract me. Yeah. I couldn't do that with episode 8. I literally couldn't do it because if something was happening every 5 seconds.
Yes.
And, so it was amazing.
Yeah.
So I really hope we get to season 4. And they've set it up to do, so fingers crossed.
And now I'm remembering things that I should have noticed, like when Harry sat down to get eat pie and eat free pie. And he stopped eating it.
Yep. Yeah. I don't like it.
Like he suddenly didn't like pie.
He loves pie.
All these things I'm like going like, hang on, I should have picked up on that. Because did you see that? Did you see that twist coming?
No. Like not at all. I didn't think that I thought they were just showing that to show the prison ship. You know, what kind of people were on the prison ship and all that kind of stuff. I did not see that coming. That's why I literally went, oh my God, when Max screamed. I kind of clicked in the 5 second gap where they switched from Max screaming to Harry. I kind of gone, oh shit.
Yeah.
Clicked in my head. And then you see the praying mantis and you're like, yep.
Yeah.
I thought, well done team for doing everything you can to get a fourth season.
Yeah. I really hope
it gets picked it up.
I'd be happy with one more, but ideally I want 5 seasons.
Well, you said it's on Netflix in America at the moment, the first 2 seasons. Yeah, so fingers crossed, if enough people watch it, it will, not saying Netflix will pick it up, but it's kind of got the Family Guy thing where they made the first 3 seasons and it got cancelled, and then everyone bought DVDs and watched it, and it was so popular that they bought it back, and it's now up to season like 28 or something.
Jeez, wow.
So fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, look, it is a superior adaption than the comic itself, so
most definitely. I couldn't get through the comic and I'm craving for more episodes.
Yes, well,
it's very hard for me to say because there's not many comics I can't get through, but
I wonder if you would have liked it if you never saw the show.
Possibly, yeah. But I love the show. I just, the sheriff and the deputy are horrible in the comic, whereas to me they made the first season watchable.
Yeah.
Not watchable. They made it like they were the stars of that season.
Yeah. Yeah. And like they've got such a good dynamic there in their relationship.
Yes.
I just, my biggest thing about this season is character development was phenomenal. You know?
And that you're right. This season was nothing but character development.
Yeah. I do feel like possibly the last episode should have been a two-parter, kind of like spread out a bit more. Maybe they wanted to do that. But it just, it just felt like it was a rush.
I think they wanted to do it because they were like, there's all the talk of that being the last season. Yeah. And I was thinking maybe they just want to like ball to the wall, smash it out for the finale and go, enough people will be like, we want more.
Yeah. I really hope they do that. I really hope they do that.
I think I've got a good feeling. I think they will.
Yeah. Because I hate it when a show gets, cancelled and it's like.
Yes.
Perfect example, Iron Fist season 2,
Yeah, when we were just about to get the most amazing arc.
Yeah.
Because I read the arc that it was based on. We're about to get an amazing arc. And they're just like, nah, no, nah, we're good.
Yeah. Just like, yeah.
Well, cool. I'm going to have, we might have to be dual due because I have a very, very, very early start in the morning. I have to, this is because my pain meds make me stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. So I normally sleep till 9, but WrestleMania starts at 7. And this is, this is my Comic-Con kind of thing. For those people that don't know wrestling, WrestleMania is the culmination of a year's worth of stories. It's the biggest event in wrestling, of the year. And, because it's in America, it's in Philadelphia. So, for the pre-show starts at 7 a.m. in Sydney time. So, yay.
Yeah.
So it's 9 o'clock now. I'm literally going to take my sleeping tablets and hopefully knock myself out in the next hour. So, it's our listeners now have an insight into my life.
Yes. Yeah, well, I think that. Yeah. I think they've been pretty clear on. I mean, you've been wrestling talking since we started this podcast, and that's before we were even doing comic book stuff.
I have been a wrestling fan since I was 8 years old. Yeah. Since my mate Tim. His dad used to run a pub in Blacktown, and they used to be a pub that hired videos, and we always used to go down and get the pay-per-views for free. So I used to watch them at Tim's house, and it's just kind of grown on me since. So, yeah, it's a big 2 days for me. It's 8 hours of wrestling from tomorrow and Monday. So I will probably be wrestling out for a little while afterwards. But, yeah, if any of you guys like wrestling or like WrestleMania and will be watching, send us a message or something and give me your predictions and Jamie will pass it on.
Yes, the true and the fictional at gmail.com for all your inquiries. If you're an author, if you're a filmmaker, if you're a comic book artist.
If you
want to come on the show, we'd love to have more comic people, comic book related people. If you're Jeff Lemire's, send me a private we'd love to have Jeff Lemire on.
And you know what? I think it's a lot easier than we think because like you were saying, he's pretty approachable. So maybe if we can, we'll just have some like Valium before we do the show and we'll be okay.
Yeah. We'll just pre-record ourselves like we're talking to him and then play the message, you know? Yes. Anyway, guys, check out our socials, stories_podcasts on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're everywhere. We're doing pretty well at the moment. So thank you guys for listening. Yep. And
thank you.
We will catch you next time.
See you next time, guys. Have a safe weekend and go Cody Rhodes to win the main event of WrestleMania.